Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of freedom, it's Freedom Friday, and our good friend George Blackard back in the house. First off, hey, George, thanks for covering the show last Freedom Friday.
Well, yeah.
Man, it's always great. I know our listeners always love it when you're on the program.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, it was a good time. We had a lot of callers on Friday, too. You know, all you got to do is mention sales tax. The S word, and people call in, and it was great. We had some great callers last week.
Now that you said it, we're going to get four more calls right now, people talking about the sales
I'm
going
to have to spell it, you know, the S-A-L-E-S-T-A-X.
I figured you must have. I caught part of the show. Normally I have to go hit the gym later in the day because I don't want to go to the gym at 2 o'clock in the morning. But since I had the day off and then we had to drive to Rapid City for a volleyball tournament, I thought, you know, I get to go to the gym in the morning for a change. This is sweet. So then I was listening to you on the way back during the statewide hour, and you just got such a smooth cadence. I never thought of Kansas as being a southern state, but you're from Kansas, and you got that smooth, almost southern drawl, semi-southern drawl, so it's a good cadence.
I think that comes from my my mom from East Texas and my dad from Arkansas. So
there we go. That explains
it. Probably where it comes
from. It's not the Kansas background.
You know, I was almost in high school before I found out that washing machine wasn't spelt with an R.
With a washing machine.
You know, I kept missing that on my fourth grade spelling test, and I couldn't figure it out.
So when you were in the Navy, you didn't ever make a trip to Washington, D.C.?
No, sir, because I learned how to speak in the Navy. You know, you have to speak clearly, you know, when you're on those sound-powered phones. You know,
speaking of accents, you know, this is funny. So when I'm at the gym, you know, sometimes I'll listen to music like on my smartphone or whatever, and they have these AI DJs now. You know, so that the AI kind of knows the songs that you listen to. It knows what's on your playlist, and then the AI DJ will see. And so I'm like, I can tell the AI DJ is not a DJ from Montana because it'll be in between songs, and it's like, hey, what's going on, Aaron? You know, it's like, okay, it's Aaron, you know, but Aaron, what's going on, Aaron? Okay, tell me you're an AI DJ with a New York voice without telling me you're a New York AI DJ. But it was like back in the day, I got to be on the Today Show, you know, back when the Today Show was really popular. I was a runner at the political conventions one summer, and Katie Couric and Matt Lauer introduced me on the air, and Matt Lauer goes, and this is Aaron, you know, it's just funny. You can always spot a New Yorker. It's Aaron.
Yeah.
You know,
you know, that's, and also Friday, you missed it because, Francesca sent us some beignets and coffee and from Proof.
Oh, my goodness.
An elk sausage breakfast sandwich.
Isn't that one the best?
It is great.
Oh, my
Very
goodness.
Very good.
Did it have, like, the huckleberry barbecue sauce on it again?
Well, this one had some sort of, it was homemade salsa.
Wow.
It had to have been homemade, but it was really good.
Oh, man. See, I was just telling Becky Hillier this morning, I said, you know, when George is here, like, his fans from all across the country, well, they'll have Proof donuts delivered. And fancy coffees, and now you just heard elk sausage breakfast sandwiches and everything. But yeah, that's a great crew there at Proof Donuts, Jason Hastings and the rest of them. All right, I did have them send some donuts to our guest host around Christmas, though, so at least I did something.
It's April 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is World Party Day. Pretty self-explanatory. It originated from a book called Flight, a quantum fiction novel that, you guessed it, ends with a big party. Also on this day, the Unabomber was arrested in 1996. Ted Kaczynski, a mathematician with anarchist ideas, was responsible for killing 3 people and injuring more than 20 others with letter bombs between the late 70s and mid-90s. In 1984, the NCAA saw its first ever African-American coach winning the tournament, Coach John Thompson of Georgetown University. The cell phone became a reality in 1973. A Motorola engineer making the first handheld cellular phone call from 6th Avenue, New York City. He called a rival to say Motorola had created a portable functioning phone. In 1882, Bob Ford killed the American outlaw Jesse James by shooting him in the back. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right. Yeah, George, I was wondering, because last weekend, maybe it was Sunday night, I can't remember anyway, but I'll go in and read some of the messages that came in on the Montana Talks app when I'm out. So even though I was out last Friday and you were filling in, I was reading some of the messages and I was like, oh yeah, somehow a sales tax debate came up because I started seeing all these messages for and against a sales tax in Montana. So I just showed you this email. I got an email from Matt in Butte, and it was a week ago Thursday. It was a Thursday night. Not last night, but a week ago. And, of course, I wasn't on the air the next day, so that's why, didn't get the email out there. But Matt in Butte was talking about a sales tax. He says, worse than the Rhino Fest in the state Senate is this sales tax nonsense. Alleged Republicans are pushing HB 841 and 842 to enact sales tax. The voters rejected this 75% against in 1993. The Republicans lost on this idiocy in the 1970s. Even Amanda Curtis opposes a sales tax. You were laughing about that one. No one with a brain wants a sales tax, Matt in Butte says. And then he says, oh, tourists will pay. Tourists are here for a week and don't buy anything but food. But we residents are here all 52 weeks a year and would have to pay this on everything. Anyway, he says the only solution is for both parties to expel any legislator who backs a sales tax from their respective parties. So that's Matt Butte Tough.
I agree with that. Yeah.
But he's a veteran as well, too. Good guy.
Nice. But don't call. I could kind of tell the way you typed that. Don't call in about sales tax because I beat that horse to death last Friday. So let's let's move on to other things.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as Matt and Butte to say that nobody with a brain wants a sales tax. There's some really good, smart people that are advocating for it to do, as a replacement. But every time the topic comes up, I'm like, guys, it's going nowhere.
Right.
You can flood the phone lines with as many, call all your buddies and tell them all to call in and talk about a sales tax. It's not happening. The voters have consistently rejected it. And my biggest thing is, even if they claimed that they were going to do away with this tax over here, if they're able to get this one over here, nobody believes it. You're just going to figure out another way to get your hooks into our pockets again.
Right. Oh, that's true. And the one that I read, and this is, we talked about this a little bit last week. I gave everybody a website they could go to that easily shows you all the bills and you can read about them and all that. And, the most recent one was pretty funny because it talked about implementing that. And then it was going to lower property tax, not get rid of property tax. It was going to lower them, but they still had the option to raise it back up if they needed to. So anytime you're looking at stuff like this, you can tell they're not really serious if that's what the language of the bill is. You know, and it is, and they think we're not smart enough to figure that out.
And that's the challenge with the property tax system that we have right now is even if the state legislature agrees on property tax relief and the governor signs it into law, which right now is questionable because everybody's now divided on how best to tackle property taxes. But even if the state reduces our property taxes, the local city and county governments can just whoop.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, we're going to adjust that out of existence.
And trust me, it'll be 10% before you know it. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. But that's why, to me, the easiest thing they can do right now is the income tax relief, across the board income tax relief, like what the governor is proposing. Because then, if they cut our income taxes, A, it's our money, so they should give it back to us anyway if they're sitting on a budget surplus. But B, the local city governments and the county governments can't come in and say, oh, no, we're going to adjust that and change it to this or this or this. Yeah. They can't do it with your income taxes. So,
well, that's true, and I'd like to see them lower the income tax. But here's the other thing that I hate, Aaron, is when they pat us on the head and make a big deal out of it. We're giving you $600 back. Look at what we did for you. Well, quit taking my money to begin with. Let's do that. Let's just lower it so you're not taking too much that gives you a surplus. So, you know, I just hate the way that politicians pander and the way they pretend that they're doing us a huge favor when they give us our own money back.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Well, what's on your mind on this Freedom Friday?
All kinds of stuff. You know, the VA, AI, and tariffs. Those are three things that are on my... So first, the VA. You probably saw that a couple days ago, DOGE found the VA was paying $380,000 for someone to maintain their website and do incremental changes to it. $380,000 a month. A month to look at their website and make little changes, right?
Well, you could have done that for a fraction of that, couldn't you, George?
Yeah, gladly. You know, I'll do it for $280,000. How about that?
Yeah.
But you know,
I'll do $265,000.
How it happens. But let's just give it to one of our IT guys and let them do it. So what they found is they could get the same work done with one person 10 hours a week. So they went from spending $380,000 down to, hey, we're going to have one of our people just do it for us that we're already paying. But that is, and so I'd like to remind everyone, when you're listening to the left screaming that President Trump doesn't like veterans and veterans are going to die, just remember that like 3 years ago, they doubled the VA's budget from like $150 billion to over $300 billion, just like 3 years ago. Nothing has improved. Nothing ever does when you just throw money at it. You've got to come up with programs and realistic solutions.
They actually expanded. So they expanded the budget, but then they just expanded the bureaucracy and made it worse for veterans. Trump made things better in his first term. Biden comes in, he throws a bunch of money at it, but he actually made things worse at the end of the day for veterans, and that's what Trump's trying to fix right now once again. All right, hold that thought.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Berg.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
Josh Berry has had success at Las Vegas Motor Speedway during his career, winning twice in a NASCAR Xfinity Series car. And his experience at the track helped him to his first NASCAR Cup Series victory in the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube.
What an unbelievable day for this car and that driver, Josh Berry.
Josh Berry and the Wood Brothers win in Las Vegas.
Sound courtesy of FS1, Berry became the fourth straight Wood Brothers racing driver to earn his first Cup win in the number 21 Ford. Barry beat out Daniel Suarez after a restart with 19 laps to go, with Barry pulling away for a convincing victory. Ryan Preece, William Byron, and Ross Chastain rounded out the top five. Christopher Bell finished 12th as he failed in his attempt to become the first driver to win four straight Cup races since Jimmy Johnson accomplished the feat in 2007. The Cup Series now heads to Florida for the Straight Talk Wireless 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway. Race time is scheduled for 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
You got me!
The galaxy's safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, George Blacker joining us here every Freedom Friday. And you can call in and jump in on the conversation as well, 406-294-0970. Or send us a message on the Montana Talks app. I definitely want to get to the tariff conversation and hear George's take on AI as well, artificial intelligence technology. First, we got a caller on the line. He's the president of the Montana Public Service Commission, Brad Molnar. Brad, great to hear from you. And by the way, I know you had called in before, and you were telling us that there was a bill to change the way that our public service commissioners are, well, elected slash appointed. Right now, all five are elected in various districts across the state. There was a bill that would change that. The bill got killed, but apparently it's been revived again, if I read that right.
Yeah, it reappeared on the Senate side. We killed it on the House side. And it's pretty much the same. It says that instead of you being able to elect a commissioner from your district, the governor and basically lobbyists and the industry will choose their, and then the other two will run in the House district. So it would be running in Downing's seat and then in Zinke's seat. So these would actually just be people that want to run for Congress being supported by large amounts of money to run there and pretend to be a commissioner. This is being done in 40 states. All 40 states have a lack of base load. Their energy rates, Montana's 12th in the cost. Almost all the others that are appointed are anywhere from double to triple that. Because there is no regulation. It's basically a deregulation bill, and we know how that works. It's back, and this might surprise you, it might not. It was scheduled for Thursday, today, at 3 o'clock to be heard. And instead, they heard it on Tuesday with no notice. There were no opponents. There were no informational.
So you felt like they changed it just to try to sneak it through there. Yeah, well, Brad Molnar, thanks for the update on that topic. Greatly appreciate your phone call. Yeah, 406-294-0970, the number for you as well. George, what's your take on this? So right now, you know, you've got five elected public service commissioners overseeing the electric utilities here in the state. This proposal, you know, would basically have a couple of them elected, basically splitting the state, kind of like our congressional members right now, and then some appointed members. It seems to me that the PSC system is working just fine right now, so I don't know why you need to change it.
It's a power grab. It's just a power grab, and so they would have more influence, and they could put whoever they want in there. As the appointees, and basically it's our government telling us that we don't know what we're doing and we can't be trusted to take care of business, so we're going to appoint people and put them in there for you. Just trust us. But Brad brings up a great point. Everywhere else that they've done this, their rates are triple, so they've gone up. And You know, there's he mentioned a good word, lobbyists. That's a four-letter word. you know, and that's the thing. When you get that type of influence, either from lobbyists or a political party, then you're going to have things change in there, and you're going to have a swing of power. And, you know, it's a bad thing.
Well, my whole thing is, like, again, where is the problem in Montana state government right now? Is it with the Public Service Commission? Now, some people might say, they've had to raise electricity rates. Well, the reason electricity rates have had to be raised is because of the electricity inflation, because of all the Green New Deal garbage that was shoved down our throats under 16 years of Democrat governors. And then the last 4 years of the Joe Biden regime, where electricity inflation went up 30% all across the country. And so what do you do when you're in that situation? Do you risk these companies going out of business because you don't approve the rates, right? Or do you just step up and combat the Green New Deal type BS policies that are driving up electricity inflation in the first place? But my point, George, is that where we do have a problem in our state government right now is with our left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. So why don't we focus our efforts? You know, time is short in the Montana legislature. Instead of focusing on, you know, these secondary, tertiary things, let's get judicial reform across the finish line. Let's bring about some judicial reforms, because that's where the train wreck is right now.
Right. Well, if you go to that website that I talked about last week and look at the number of bills that are up there, half of these bills, a lot of these bills, probably more than half, we don't even need this stuff, right? But lawmakers, politicians think that they need to pass bills to prove they're doing something. And you're right. Why don't we focus on a couple of the big things that really need fixed? Let's do that. Hell with all the rest of those bills. You know, let's get the important stuff done first.
Judicial reform, property tax relief, across the board, income tax cuts. All right. And then get those. And then, okay, now let's talk. And then, you know, some other big things are getting done too, like protecting women's sports, protecting women's locker rooms.
That's a good thing. I believe in that.
Yeah. But of course, then you have a liberal judge in Missoula say, nope, I don't like it. I'm going to block that law from going into effect. So again, judicial reform, because you can pass whatever bill you want. But if the judiciary is still running amok, what does it matter if they can just throw it all in the trash can?
Judge, that's another four-letter word these days.
It's become one, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
There are some good ones out there, though.
Well, there are, but there's a lot of bad ones. Let's just say that.
Well, but that's kind of – but also, like, it's kind of like streetlights, right? Like, we don't say, oh, well, there's a lot of good streetlights out there. The fact that, you know – 15 of them don't work today, and there's all these wrecks happening. Well, but most of the streetlights are
good. Most of them work.
No, they're all supposed to be good. They're all supposed to be working for us.
That's a great analogy.
You know
Thank
what I
you
mean?
For that.
Like,
yes. Like, you know, there's some good Chinese out there,
but
too.
But with judges, it's like, well, you know, hey, there's only about 15 or 20 of them that are causing train wrecks every day. But the rest of them are working, you know.
Right.
Like, imagine if we treated, you know, aviation safety
Anything.
That way, road safety, although it was quickly turning into that under, you know, the Buttigieg crowd, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. How about that? That's a name I'm glad I don't hear
well,
anymore.
Well, most of them are working. They're all supposed to be working.
That's a great point. I love that analogy. I'm going to use that.
I don't know how that one came out. I don't know. All right, well, let's go back into the phone lines here. We got Patrick in Kalispell. Patrick, what's going on?
I just wanted to let everybody know that the Friends of the NRA banquet is at the fairgrounds at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Tickets are $60, and you can buy them at Snappy's, or you can call Kendi at 406-799-0042, and the tickets are $60, and it's a good time for all. There's auctions for lots of good stuff. So anybody that's pro-gun, we would like to see them there.
Hey, that's a good Freedom Friday announcement. Yeah, for our friends in the Flathead. That's it. That's in Kalispell, where they have the Friends of the NRA banquet coming up. So, yeah, no, Patrick, thanks for calling in. Yeah, good Freedom Friday. The Friends of the NRA, you know, the enemies of the NRA, you know, their banquet. I'm trying to think when the Democrats are having their banquet, but that's when the enemies of the NRA banquet is whenever the Democrats are having their. Remember last year? It was the Flathead County Democrats had their enemies of the NRA banquet that I'm going to call it now. And they had the gun control guy who ran for governor speak, and then no meat. It was an all-vegan
Oh, really?
Banquet at the friends of the at the enemies of the NRA.
I bet
banquet.
The next year was just tremendously not attended. Just
well, there's. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you can still fill a room with some of the crazy anti-gun, pro-illegal alien Democrats in Kalispell. Yeah. You can, I mean, they're not the majority, but there's still a few of them running around. You know,
I swear, if you throw a steak in a room with a vegan and turn off the lights when they come back on, somebody ate it.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, well, I don't know. We got another car.
No, go for it. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about AI a little bit because it's affecting our lives so much or impacting our lives. And I have a friend that was looking for a job and noticed that whenever she submitted a application, you know, you got to do it online nowadays. You don't get to see a person or anything like that. And you can go through LinkedIn. You can go through these different websites or even the company's website. And you submit that. And sometimes these are reviewed by AI and sorted out, right? So you can usually tell when you get a response back really fast that says, we're considering other candidates. Because the AI scans your resume, looks for the buzzwords that it's trying to find and the different things like that. And if you put all the right ones in there, it goes through. If not, it gets kicked back.
Interesting.
So, you know, and so
this guy looks like a white guy. That one's rejected.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and the other thing is, and this is true, and if you don't think it is, you haven't been out looking for a job lately, age has a huge factor in this because
really so AI is filtering out.
Well, I'm not saying AI is doing this exactly,
yeah,
but here's what they do. They ask you when you graduated from college. They can't ask you how old you are because that's illegal, right? But they can ask when you graduated from college. And if you graduated from college in like 1993, they know you're over 50 years old, right? So that's how they do it. And that should be illegal. There should be no way they can ask
so
you that
if
question.
If you graduated college 40 years ago, they might weed you out.
Well, they know how old you are.
But on the flip side, if you're the non-traditional student, you know, the older guy in the college classroom last year who asked all the annoying questions. You're good. The guy who asked all the annoying questions and is the, you know, the old guy in the he's still
what,
fine.
What, are you picking on me now or what?
He'll make it through.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a thing. It's real. Yeah. And somebody needs to do something about that part of it.
All right. Quick break here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. George Blackard with us for Freedom Friday. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern Congressional District with a quick update. If not, if he's able to stick around longer, we'll sneak in some of your phone calls as well.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George Blackard, Freedom Friday. George, you were talking about AI, you know, artificial intelligence, and I've been having a ton of fun with Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI platform. It's crazy how much good information you can now get out of a source like Grok, for example. I should go into it and look and see just some of the questions that I threw towards Grok here just in the last week or so. But it of course still has its shortfalls, you know, because to where you still have to. It's just like we always tell people, hey, don't just believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you hear. Now, most people get that. They understand that, especially when it comes to the fake news liberal media out there. You have to always question them because they've been so wrong about everything, and we know that they're biased. But question us. Question George. Question me. That's all part of the process. So when AI will do a summary of something, you and I have both, we've you know, asked AI a question, and then you read it, and you're like, that's not exactly entirely accurate. But like case in point with AI, earlier this morning, I wanted to find a write-up. Brian Gilman, a retired Marine Corps colonel, he's the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters. He has a great write-up on their website called Anti-Fragile. And he's basically been giving speeches and talking about this topic about how to combat fragility and just how fragile people are and how even it starts to invade and infect the veterans community as well, where where, you know, where should people become overwhelmed by the fragility, and instead of confronting their challenges, they become overwhelmed by their challenges. And so it was a great write-up, but I asked AI to find it for me, and it was like, oh, well, I can't really find anything. And it's like, I go right on their website, and there it is. So there's just another shortfall that you still see with some of these so-called intelligence platforms.
Well, don't forget, Google's AI, when they were showing our founding fathers as black, right?
That was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, but see, that's the thing. AI starts with a human being, and the information they put in there to start this, to create this, to give it birth to, can taint everything else that it comes up with. And that's what happened in that instance. The guy who was working on that program for them, he did all that on purpose. And so he was putting this information in there so that it would do things like that. And of course, they found out and he got fired and all that. But it just goes to show you, you can't believe everything you read just because AI says this is what it is. Then, you know, you still can't believe it all.
Yeah. Well, one of the stories, speaking of, you know, questioning information and questioning sources, one of the stories I talked about yesterday is a big story that we've been covering for a long time, you know, and it's the drug cartels, it's Trinidad and Aragua, illegal alien gang members that are targeting Indian country, targeting our Native American communities in particular. Well, earlier this week, the Trump administration, AG Pam Bondi, FBI Director Kash Patel, Montana's new U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy, they all make this big announcement how the FBI is surging law enforcement resources into Indian country to tackle these open crime investigations and more. And one of the TV stations actually did a news story about it. Okay, that's good. Not one mention of any of the Trump administration officials at all. They just made it sound like, oh, the FBI is just randomly deciding to surge personnel into Indian country. No mention of the fact that it's Donald J. Trump's team. Because, like, we all know what Joe Biden's team did to Indian country. And we know how the liberal media covered up for it. Mm-hmm. And then now, when Donald Trump's surging resources in to help Indian country, oh, let's do everything we can to make sure he does not get credit for this.
Right, exactly. And see, the media right now and the left, they want our country to fail. They want Donald Trump to fail. So they want our country to fail. They can't get behind this and work together. In fact, these politicians in Washington, D.C., they should all be getting together saying, okay, well, let's fix our country. Let's fix this tariff thing. Let's fix all this. But they don't. The left just puts out all this massive amounts of fake news, propaganda, nonsense to get people to believe it, to keep us separated as a country. And that's what they do. And they don't want to work together. I don't care what they tell you about that they are reaching across the aisle. They're not. And that's the sad part. They want our country to fail because they're not in charge.
They want to transform it into something else. Yeah.
You know, and you brought up a good point, Aaron. Sorry to cut you off. But the deportations to, where is it? Venezuela, is that where they're sending?
Well, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But El Salvador is the big one. That's where
it.
The prison is.
The prison.
For the
yeah.
hardcore criminals.
So
yeah.
As an example, so the media reports that we deported an American citizen and put him in that prison, which isn't true. If you do your research, and I've checked this at a couple of different places, one of the people they sent down there that they're claiming was an American citizen was actually here illegally. He was here in like 2017, and he'd been here for several years. Once they found out that he was here illegally, then he claimed that he couldn't, that he had to be here. I'm drawing a blank. He'd be persecuted in his home country.
Asylum.
So he was seeking asylum.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Even though he didn't take advantage of the actual asylum process.
Exactly. Not until he got caught. And then he says, I'm an asylum seeker, but he's not a U.S. citizen. But the media says that he is.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people are going to believe that because it's the news, right?
Well, or they want to believe it. They want to believe anything that goes against Trump. They want to
exactly.
go believe
it
so that, yeah, they're willing. They're willing accomplices throughout it. All right, well, we got some callers on the phone lines here. Let's go to Michael in the Gallatin Valley. We were talking about AI filtering out you know, filtering out job applications from people who graduated many years ago. And then we got to talking about non-traditional students and more. Michael in the Gallatin Valley, what's your thoughts?
So, thanks for letting me have to talk about this. My girls, we told them that they had to get college degrees, and they said, well, you don't have one. So I went to University of Phoenix Online and graduated in 2005. So if AI says, okay, man, he's on the bubble, I'll be turning 71 in June.
Well, congratulations. Yeah.
One of the first things that our class had was, well, what do you think about older people being online training or schooling? And I wrote back that before they were born, I used a Heathkit computer program to write a program to do Pong on my cube black and white TV.
It's amazing what you can, when you want to play a game or do something fun or cool, it's amazing how you can figure out the technology pretty quickly, right? George, great phone call there from Michael in the Gallatin Valley. You know, we think that just because we have all this stuff and we have these smartphones and everything that we're smarter than people of the past. Think about what they had to know and physically do
without all the tools that we have
today. If we lost all these tools, most of us would be dead in the water. We would not know, you know, a lot of us would be dead in the water.
Let's face it, half the people, more than half the people, wouldn't even be able to drive if they ran across a stick shift and had to drive it. They couldn't do that. I mean, yeah, you're right. We've grown so accustomed to all that stuff. And I see it all the time. People that are young that should know better, basic life skills stuff, they don't know how to do. And it's sad, really. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, and then that whole anti-fragility piece that Brian Gilman wrote that I was talking about as well, I think that ties into it, too. I think you're seeing that even amongst, especially amongst some of the younger crowd right now where just stuff that you just had to figure it out and, you know, figure it the F out and get over it and move on. It can be like a whole deal breaker with some people these days. Let's go to Mark in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Mark, what's going on?
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. I'll make this really brief. Excuse me. It is so frustrating to hear even right-wing talk shows not sticking up enough for Trump in this regard, and that is, it took us how long to dig this hole that we're in? I mean, Biden was on steroids digging America into a hole he was hoping we couldn't get out of. So everybody thinks that Trump should have had this job done yesterday. And they need to bring this up. They need to bring up the fact that it's going to take time. You don't heal such a severe wound overnight. So that's all I had to say.
That's a great point. No, that's a great point. I mean, just the trade issues alone, 50 years. They've been fighting a trade war against us, and we've never really fought back, right? And so Donald Trump is saying, okay, you're going to tariff us, we're going to tariff you. By the way, good news on that front. Argentina, you know, they've got that incredible president, Javier Milei of Argentina. I just shared this on X. He is now working to do away with all tariffs altogether so that Argentina could become the first zero tariff country. No tariffs against us, no tariffs against you. That's how it, you know, could be.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you want free and fair trade, you can have it. If you want to put tariffs on U.S. products and hurt U.S. workers, then there'll be reciprocity. We will do to you that which you do to us. And the choice will be yours, it will not be ours. And what is the net result going to be? It will take time to play out. Here's my prediction. And all these people that are wringing their hands in a state of panic, talking doom and gloom and stagflation and inflation, etc., they're all going to be proven wrong because these countries need access to all of our money, meaning all of your money. They want to sell their products in the United States of America.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Only two things in life are certain, death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox Country.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Randy Travis will be honored at the 2025 Grammys on the Hill.
I'm gonna love you forever and ever.
Event hosted by the Recording Academy in Washington, D.C., returns April 8th through the 10th, uniting congressional leaders and music makers to honor those who have helped shape a better future for music. The 7-time Grammy winner is being honored alongside U.S. Representatives Linda Sanchez and Ron Estes for their commitment to advancing pro-music policy. Morgan Wallen is teasing new music. The song is called Come Back as a Redneck, captioning a video online with the song's lyrics, Maybe Then You'll Understand. The song is part of his upcoming album called I'm the Problem, which drops May 16th. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
If you tied the knot last year, you may find that you're paying more in taxes. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When married, your filing status is determined based on your marital status for the last day of the year or December 31st. Typically, dual-income households pay more in taxes married due to the so-called marriage penalty. CPA Bill Dendy says the penalty is no longer relevant for most couples.
The marriage penalty used to be the high difference in between standard deductions if we were single or married. Currently, standard deduction for a single taxpayer is $14,600 and standard deduction for a married couple is $29,200. Exactly twice that amount.
Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know these last few minutes go by quick here, so let's sneak in another caller on the phone lines. Jim in Malta, great to hear from you. What's going on this Freedom Friday, Jim?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
I was just going to bring up, there's a bill currently in Montana that they're wanting to identify all non-citizens on a driver's license. Is that correct?
Well, they will say that's not what the bill does, but I've read the bill, and I think Jody Etchart is right. Representative Etchart is correct. There is a massive loophole in that bill that would allow for effectively that to happen. But they will claim that it's a driver privilege card, but it's not for illegal aliens. But I think there's a loophole in the bill that would effectively make it that. That's my take anyway.
Sure, and I'm just going to bring to the point, I don't know if a lot of folks are aware of it, but Montana is one of the few states that requires proof of residency in order to obtain a driver's license. You got to prove that you're here legally. And we had one of our members actually had a bright red letter stamped across the top of their commercial driver's license that said non-domiciled, which was incorrect. They were here under an I-7 permanent resident, and reached out to Attorney General's office, and he was kind enough to get that corrected. So we're going to have to be careful, for implementing that, because it's already in place, and it's redundancy, quite frankly.
Good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, I'm glad you called in, Jim. Sorry we're a little short on time here. But, no, I appreciate you raising that because, yeah, we've had some great phone calls on that very topic. I'm forgetting the bill number off the top of my head here. But, yeah, it's a driver privilege card. It got through the House, but hopefully they'll kill it in the Senate because I think there's a massive loophole in that. All right, George, before we run out of time, man, the topic you wanted to talk about, and here we are at the end of the show, we still haven't gotten to it yet. Tariffs.
Always happens.
Somebody asked you a tariff question.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what people don't understand is that other countries have massive tariffs on us, and our tariffs are very small to them. So it's one way, and it's been that way forever. The whole world takes advantage of us. You know, the UN, everybody takes our money, and then just gives it to us.
Blocks our beef.
Exactly.
And tariffs our products. But if we do it to them, we're bad.
Yeah, and you played a clip a while ago in the studio that had Nancy Pelosi years ago, I could tell because she sounded young in it. She was talking about how we had a 2% tariff on China, but China had a 39% tariff on us. And it's even higher nowadays. But this was all the way back then. So now the Democrats are screaming against tariffs. Back then, they were screaming for tariffs and saying how unfair it is and that we need to do something about it. So it's just like the filibuster. The Democrats don't want it unless they can use it, and then they want it.
Yeah.
And so you just got to pay attention to everything that's going on. You know,
yeah, the Democrats called the filibuster the Jim Crow relic of our time. But then Cory Booker's bragging about breaking the filibuster record. And so actually,
yes,
former Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema called him out and said, so I guess it's not a relic of Jim Crow then?
Exactly. You know, like, well, and, you know, they use the filibuster more than the Republicans. And over the years, I saw a study on that one day, and it just goes to show the hypocrisy and all of this. If they can use it, it's fine. If they can't use it, then it's bad.
That's
and
right. Yeah.
Just wait till they get back in power, and they'll bring it back.
Well, let me tell you something I've used. George has used it in the past. George knows it works. We've got Tim and Savage who's used it. But just because we get to use it doesn't mean you don't get to use it. BillingsLastDiet.com. Billings Last Diet now has a remote option available. Tim's using it. He's lost 97 pounds. I used it over 7 years ago. That's how I've kept the weight off since then. And you get to use it too. You don't just have to be here in the Montana Talks Towers. Yeah, they've got the remote option that's working. So no matter where you live in Montana, check out BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751. George, great to see you. Thanks for your time this Freedom Friday.
Thanks, Aaron. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the other reason we like to see you. Oh, yeah, it's Friday. George is here.
Yeah.
So it's always good to see you, even if it ain't.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000-square-foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Burke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.